Genesis 48. Now, we come here to the end of Jacob's life, and these chapter 48 and 49 are Jacob's going to be the time of the focus here in these two passages of Scripture. Because Jacob is about to pass away. He's 147 years old here. He's at the end of his life. And he, here in chapter 48, he meets specifically with Joseph and gives Joseph some instruction here. Gives Joseph his blessing Joseph's two sons here in this passage. Then in chapter 49, he's going to address all of his sons and give their blessings to them. And so he's sick right now. He's bedridden. He is mostly blind, like his father before him when he died, if you remember, or even before he died. He's mostly blind. And he calls Joseph in to bless him. And his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's two sons that were born to him there in Egypt, while Joseph had been there. It begins in verse 1, it says, "Came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim." Now that phrase, "it came to pass," I absolutely love that phrase, and you need to make note of that. It's time to see that in the Scripture. That simply means what God has ordained to happen, happened. That's what that simply means right there. What God has decreed, what God has purposed, what God has set in order, happened. It came to pass. It came to pass. In other words, it happened just like God determined it to happen. So it came to pass that Joseph, or Jacob, comes to the end of his life. Joseph is summoned to his father, and he brought his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, with him. "And one told Jacob," verse number 2, "and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed." So Israel straightened up there in his bed and sat up where he could greet his son as he come in. And so Jacob said unto Joseph, verse number 3, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land of thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession." So he starts out as he meets with Joseph there, and he declares to him that this is the promise God gave to me directly. It's the same promise that he gave to Abraham. It's the same promise he gave to Isaac. He gave that same promise to Jacob. And Jacob is now telling his son, and he will tell his sons again. Now, no doubt they've already heard this story. No doubt they've heard it many times throughout Jacob's life here, as he was, especially when they were younger and they were gathered around him there. No doubt he told them many times of him wrestling with the Lord and the Lord blessing him. And the many times that he had the dream there in Bethel and saw the ladder there between earth and heaven and the Lord standing above it. No doubt he spoke of all these blessings that the Lord had given him over and over again, even while he was at Laban's house those 20 years and all the blessings that came on him there. And so he's told this story over and over again. But as he calls his son Joseph into that chamber, and Jacob, knowing he is at the end of his life, what is his conversation started with? "Let me tell you what the Lord's done for me. Let me tell you what the Lord has promised. Let me tell you what the Lord has done in my life." That was the most important thing to him, to communicate to his son Joseph. It was the most important thing in his life to communicate to his family. "Let me tell you what the Lord has done. Let me tell you the promises he has made." That was the most important thing to him. He started his conversation with these promises of the Lord. Your children and your grandchildren need to hear from you the importance of the Lord in your life. They need to hear from you the blessings of God on your life. And every opportunity that you have when you are having conversation with Him and the everyday things of life, the things that they are going through, their marriages, their children, their schooling, their work, whatever the case may be, in every aspect as you're going through having these conversations with them, you need to interject constantly. Let me tell you what the Lord has blessed me with. That needs to be forefront in our conversation. That needs to be forefront in our hearts to communicate to our children and to our grandchildren the importance of God in our lives. How important it is. The blessings of God on us, the service to God, why we have given ourselves for His service. Why it's so important to us. We need to be communicating that to those around us. Here, this is the first thing that Jacob wants to reassure or to end his communications with his sons. This is what he begins with. Let me tell you how God blessed me. Let me tell you the promises God has made for me. And so he begins here declaring this blessing of God, these promises that God had given. Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make thee a multitude of people, will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Verse 5, he says, and now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Now he calls them different. Notice in verse 1, it says that Joseph brought them, Manasseh, and Ephraim, that's their birth order. Manasseh was firstborn. Ephraim was secondborn. When Jacob addresses them, he says Ephraim and Manasseh. He does it backwards. He calls them out of birth order. He calls the secondborn first. And this is intentional on his part as we go on down and read here. He says, now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. And Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And so he adopts, Jacob adopts Ephraim and Manasseh as his own children. He adopts them as his own children. Now why does he do that? Because he is giving to Joseph double inheritance, you see. He's given to Joseph double inheritance by making Joseph's sons his sons. And now they take part in the inheritance of the children of Jacob. They get part of the inheritance, you see. And so they are counted as the children of Jacob, and they receive part of the inheritance of Jacob. Now he goes on and says there in verse number 6, and thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. So he says, now all the other children that will be born to you after this, all the others born to you after this, they will be behind their brothers, Manasseh and Ephraim. And they will be counted in that part of the inheritance. So they will not receive the inheritance of Jacob, but rather they receive the inheritance of Manasseh and Ephraim. So all the children after them will be considered grandchildren, if you will, of their brothers in that case, to continue to receive that inheritance. And so it says there, verse 7, and as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the ways, and yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. And he says, verse 8, and Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Who are these? So these are, if you will, are the two most important events had the most impact on Jacob's life as he is telling this to his son Joseph. Number one is the promises of God on him. The blessings that God has poured out over and over again on him. That was number one. That was the most important thing. The second thing, the thing that had the most impact in his life was when Rachel died. When his beloved died there in Padan. And he describes there that second event that caused the most impact, if you will, on his life. He describes that to his son, Joseph. Now, I made a statement before, based upon chapter 49, that it looks like he made Judah, there in verse number 8 and 9 and 10, it looks like he made Judah the firstborn, giving him the right of the firstborn, based upon what he wrote there in verses 8, 9, 10. But I was wrong. He actually gives the right of the firstborn to Joseph here. Now go over to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 5. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 5, and verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 5, and that is the wrong verse. Maybe it's, let me go over here and check here. Oops. There's a verse. I read it. First Chronicles, chapter 5. Verse number 1. It says, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph. So the right of the firstborn was given to Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's sons. The son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. The genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. So it's actually Joseph's sons, and in a sense, Joseph, given the right of the firstborn here over Reuben, as the Bible tells us here in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse number 1. So he gives this birthright, the right of the firstborn, to Joseph's sons, as the scriptures tell us there. And we read there in verse number 8 again, rather, he says, Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Now, it's not that he didn't know who Ephraim and Manasseh were. It's because he's mostly blind. And he might have been reminded about coming to his own father's bed so many years ago and pretending to be his brother Esau, knowing his father could not see him either. And so he asked to begin with, who's this standing in front of me here? I can't hardly make them out. Who is this that's standing here? And Joseph said, well, it's Manasseh and Ephraim. My boys. And they were apparently very small at that time, because we'll read in the next few verses here, where they come from between Joseph's knees. So it's like they're sitting on daddy's lap there as he's talking with Grandpa Jacob. And they get down from Joseph's lap and go there to his to Grandpa when he lays hands on them there. But it says here that he tells them, it's my two boys. In verse 9, Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God has showed me also thy seed. He said, I thought I was never going to see you again, but not only do I get to see you, I get to see your children as well. And Joseph brought them out, verse number 12, from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. So these boys were probably still very young, standing there before their grandpa, and probably didn't understand even fully what grandpa was telling them here. It says, Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. So Joseph had them lined up. He's got Manasseh in his right hand, he's got Ephraim in his left hand, and he's bringing them up so that when Jacob lays his hands on them to bless them, Jacob's hand will be first, his right hand will be on Manasseh's head, and his left hand would be upon Ephraim's head. So that the right of the firstborn would be on the right there. He would be going to Manasseh. But that rascal Jacob, he's always pulling tricks, and pulling tricks even now. When he comes up, Jacob crosses his hands and puts it on the opposite side of him. And he gives him a blessing there, it says. And he says, let me find my spot here. Verse 13, Joseph took them both, brought them before him there. Verse 14, Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. He knew exactly, he wouldn't know because he was blind. He could say, well, I didn't see. He did it on purpose. He knew what he was doing here. And verse 15 says, he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Jacob did not lose sight of where all of his blessings came from. He was in a foreign country at this point. He was getting food that was supplied to him by that foreign country. Egypt had prepared all this. Joseph was the administrator of it. And he was giving this food out, but Jacob knew exactly where that provision came from. He knew that though he was in Egypt, and yeah, he was living off what the Egyptians had prepared, Jacob understood fully. He understood completely that it was God that had made that provision, and it was God that had put him in that place, and it was God that was continuing to bless him all the days of his life. And so he recognized right away. He declares this out. This is God's blessing. He's the one that has fed me every day of my life, even until now, even unto this day, he said. The angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lands. Now here he's speaking of the Lord. When he calls him an angel, that angel is in capital A here. He's talking about the Lord God redeeming him from all evils. This is speaks here of the first time, I should say, that the word redeem is used in the scripture in regards to God saving us or buying us back. This is the first time this word is used. And so he's speaking here of the salvation that he has in the Lord, that he has been redeemed by him, that he had to have that redemption. He had to have that salvation from God, that he could not have it from any place else. The angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the land. Remember, that's who he thought he was wrestling there, was an angel. But it was the angel of the Lord, as the scripture calls it. It was the Lord Jesus himself, and a theophany that was wrestling with it. And that's what Jacob even said the next day as he dedicated the place to the Lord and worshiped there. He says, for I have seen the Lord face to face, and yet I live. Yet I live. He knew exactly who he was wrestling with there. And so he calls him that here in this passage as well. The angel which redeemed me from all evil blessed the lands. and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And so he's calling for that same promise, that same blessing that God had given unto him, that same promise he's passing on to Ephraim and Manasseh here. Verse 16 says, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. Oh, wait a minute, Dad, you got mixed up. You need to switch your hand back around. You got the wrong one. And Joseph, or verse 19 rather, his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. In fact, Ephraim would grow in such importance that when you get over to the prophets there in Isaiah and Hosea especially, several places in the book of Hosea, you see the nation of Israel, specifically the 10 northern tribes, they are called Ephraim in those passages of Scripture. Turn over to Isaiah 7:2. We'll look at one example of this. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 2. The name Ephraim here is used to describe the 10 northern tribes. Isaiah 7 and verse 2, and it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved with the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. And so here we see an example. And again, there's many times in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 2 and 3 and chapter 4. Amos. I can't remember exactly where it's at in Amos right off. But there's several passages of Scripture that call Ephraim, or use the term Ephraim in reference to the 10 northern tribes. So Ephraim becomes very influential, but we also see in that being called Ephraim in that context, we see that right of the firstborn, as the 10 northern tribes are called then Ephraim. So we see that that right of the firstborn being spoken of that. And so here, Jacob prophesies over his two grandsons here. And this obviously is knowledge that the Lord had given him. And we see here that he gives the blessing upon the younger instead of the older. And man, this has happened many times before, hasn't it? You have Isaac being blessed over Ishmael. You had Jacob being blessed over Esau, Joseph in this context over Reuben, and now Ephraim over Manasseh. It's a common theme here. The Lord keeps getting these, taking another other than the firstborn and giving to them this right of firstborn inheritance. And so Ephraim would become very dominant as a nation, or as a tribe of Israel. He'd become very dominant among the 10 tribes. And sadly, to a great part of their wickedness as they would depart from the Lord as well. Verse 20 says that he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God made thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. And there was that hope, that faith, because of the promises of God, the children of Israel would not stay in Egypt, that they would eventually go home. There'd be a time when they would leave Egypt and go back into the promised land again. And it would not be during Joseph's life, because they would carry Joseph's bones out of Egypt back into the promised land. But he knew that there would be a time when God would bring them out and would not leave them in that foreign land, but bring them back into the land of promise. Verse 22 says, "Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow." Now here's a military action that we have no record of when this took place. Sometime in David's life, he had to fight against the Amorites, and when he fought against the Amorites, he took a portion of land from them or some wealth from them, something from them, most likely a piece of property that he took from them in this fight. And in this piece of land now that he owned, that he controlled, he is giving it to Joseph as his inheritance. And so he's giving him not only the firstborn, but he's also giving him this extra portion. "Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow." Perhaps it was simply because of Jacob's love for his son. Maybe it was because he was just blessing him because of what his brothers had done to him, just as a way of, in some small way, of repaying him for all that he had to endure in order to save his brothers alive. But he gives him this extra blessing here, this particular, whatever it was, most likely a piece of property, but whatever it was that he had there that he had gathered, he gave that portion unto Joseph, that it would belong to his inheritance. And so in chapter 49, we'll hold off here in this chapter, and then in chapter 49, Jacob's going to call all of his sons to him, and he's going to give all of them their blessings. And I use that term loosely because a lot of them don't sound much like blessings. As he describes the problem of his sons' character too, and makes mention of these things, how they had failed in the past. And he gives some prophecy concerning each one of them. But the one that is most important, the one that stands out more so than any other, is the prophecy to Judah and what was promised there in regards to the coming of our Lord, as he would give those blessings to his sons there in chapter 49. And then, of course, we will just those two more chapters left of this book of Genesis in this study, chapter 49, Jacob's blessing to his son, and then chapter 50 is Joseph with his brethren again, as he describes and makes known to them his understanding of what God had worked. And it was because of their great fear. They thought, he will kill us now. Daddy's gone, and we have. And Joseph once again shows his brothers his forgiveness and his dependence upon God. He knew God did exactly what God wanted to do in that situation. All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight. Be in prayer for service on Sunday morning. Remember those many that we have on our prayer list. Be faithful. Remember each one of them. And Lord willing, we'll see each one Sunday, if I'm holy. Brother Jonathan, you dismiss us.